Hello, listeners. Two quick notes before the show. First, if you could take the Music Post survey, especially if you like the show, but especially if you don't, that would make my day. You can find it at bit.ly/musicpostsurvey. Secondly, if you like today's episode and you live in the DC area, I'll be playing a concert that I reference obliquely with the guest from today, Carlos Rodriguez. That concert is next Tuesday, May 9th, 2017, at noon in downtown DC at the Church of the Epiphany as part of their Noon Tuesday concert series. If you're interested, you can find out more at epiphanydc.org. Okay, here we go. So just tell us, because we're playing a concert, right?
Yeah.
So what's your plan for the concert?
There's no plan for the concert. What's the theme? It's all rag, piano rag, nah?
Yeah, ragtime and stride.
And stride.
Hello and welcome to the Music Post. I'm Sam Post, and we're back today after a little break. Joining me is my colleague, fellow pianist, Carlos Cesar Rodriguez. Now, for those who don't know Carlos, you should go back and listen to episode 19. But as you can hear in the background right now, Carlos is a remarkably skillful improviser. Let's let him finish up this little section here. We have a concert coming up, our first concert together actually, next Tuesday, downtown DC, which I'm super excited about. It's going to be a real honor to share the stage with him and with another colleague and guest on the show from episode 13, Paul Bratcher. Carlos and I caught up and talked about the concert, about improvising and about music, and of course we improvised ourselves, some freer improv like you're hearing from him now, and also over some well-known tunes. We're going to hear from tenor Peter Joshua Burrows as well later in the episode. It's going to be a good time, so stay with me. So even though Carlos has this crazy, ridiculous skill, he hasn't leveraged it too much in his musical career, more often playing the role of the traditional pianist, which he's also fantastic at, by the way. But at the same time, I believe it's really the world's loss that he hasn't shown himself off too much as an improviser. And that's part of why I decided to start recording some of his stuff myself, and why I take some of the credit, not too much, just a little, for getting him to play this concert with me where he'll be improvising his entire set. Because it turns out that's something that he hardly ever does in concert, or at least something he rarely acknowledges doing, even when he does it. Which makes me wonder, why not just make it more his thing? So, you know, I've been pushing for this concert, obviously. But you've in most of the concerts you play, you improvise, but you don't always advertise it. Am I right?
It's sort of been back and forth. I mean, it started either as an afterthought. I'm not an afterthought, you know, like encores. When I will improvise. Or at the end. Mm-hmm. But I always have been with me, but I haven't put it part in the, like, in the program. I haven't even yet done, well, some, but not, I won't say officially.
Okay.
Like, let's say, like, so, as part of my programming, you know, it's just been, like, at random, you know, improvise, if I find that there was an interesting program. Partly because I think, it's...
Yeah, why? Explain why.
Yeah, I think, well, to begin with, I want to say it's good that we're doing this. I mean, I'm excited, I'm honored, I'm proud, you know, I'm proud as the mentor, I'm honored as colleague, and I'm excited that we're pushing this type of style into the back where it used to be, into the concert stage. Because even, I mean, it has changed. I think it's been in the last 5-7 years, it's changed.
Mm-hmm.
But I remember when I was your age, which was quite a while ago.
Not that long.
That it was looked as though it was something, you know, I don't know how to explain. Well, I don't want to say put down. It wasn't put down, but it was not part, you know, you had to play what was written and everything, and the competition and the notes and the, you know, everything, blah, blah, blah. And it still is not now. It's just not.
Yep. You know what I mean? Carlos is pointing out that part of the problem here is in academic circles and music education, a somewhat overbearing reverence for preserving music of the past in the historic sense, you know, exactly the way it was. Something that he acknowledges is changing, and I think is changing as well, and he's happy to be a part of that change. But at the same time, he also kind of avoids my question, and I sense a bit of shyness or reluctance on his part to really take credit for what he can do, like he doesn't want to necessarily take on the mantle of bringing improvisation back to classical music, or at least not doing so alone. And that's why even sometimes when he plays in concerts, he won't even tell the audience that he's improvising.
Yeah, so, well, for instance, the concert I saw at the National Gallery with you and Peter. So you guys did lots of like old Civil War tunes and things like that.
Yes.
And you did a lot of improvising.
No,
the arrangements, the accompaniment.
Yeah.
But you didn't, even that you didn't, you didn't really advertise. Like I feel like I was the only one who knew what you were doing.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
So why not?
Well, that particular
one. He didn't quite give me a straight answer there either, but let's listen to part of one of these improvised arrangements. I think you'll recognize the tune. Peter Joshua Burroughs is the tenor. This is from the dress rehearsal for their recent performance, and I put my recorder way too close to the piano, so apologies for the balance being slightly off between the singer and the piano. That's not Carlos's fault, but I think you'll still enjoy this one quite a bit anyway. Here it is.
Thank you. Robbie!
Oh, okay, it's coming, it's coming. Oh, I'm so sad.
Totally awesome. Back to Carlos.
These, which is so amazing that we're doing, you know, it's a blog, I guess that's how you call it,
podcast.
The podcast, that it hopefully will inspire other people to do the same. Because I'm sure it exists. I mean, I was at Julia, there were people who did that, but we're not supposed to. It was taboo. It was you can't do that. You know, Everything is the law. But, you know, the law is always changing. So, according to who, you know? Uh-huh. So I'm encouraging that anybody who's listening and who is able to do it to do that in the programming.
Speaking of taboo, one of my ideas for this concert is to half improvise over the repeats in this piece that's become a classical ragtime standard, Graceful Ghost Rag by William Bolcom. A piece I played actually back in episode 12 in a more standard manner. This piece has three main sections, the first two of which are traditionally repeated, you know, pretty much exactly the same, something that's quite common in traditional ragtime. But for me, the exact repeats are always a little unsatisfying, and so I started experimenting with changing the right-hand melody over the same left-hand chords. Now for me, this takes a fair amount of planning combined with a bit of freedom in the moment, so it's a little bit of a gateway improvisation for the relatively unskilled. And I wanted to show this off to Carlos. So what you're going to hear now is the first section of this piece, Graceful Ghost Rag, and then the quote-unquote repeat with my changes. And then after that, Carlos will take over, kick it up a notch, as he usually does, with the same piece, which, by the way, he was seeing the score of for the very first time. And just so you know, when you're listening, when you hear this, that's when it's going back to the beginning for the modified repeat. Now what you're going to hear from Carlos is he's going to follow the same harmonies and bass line that you've heard twice now. This. And so on. But he adds much more rhythmic variation and experimentation in a more rhapsodic and freestyle. And like I did, Carlos is going to quote-unquote repeat the first section. And I especially like this moment in his repeat where you're going to hear this new third voice emerge very clearly in the middle of the piano, playing something close to the original melody from the piece. And it's going to be in dialogue with the higher melody line. This way. And all the while, the bass line is continuing. And again, I emphasize this is while sight improvising, that is, reading off the music for the very first time, but only following its basic outline and structure. And rather than end after the first section like I did, Carlos just continues on sight improvising for the rest of the piece, even adding in his own mini little extra sections. It's pretty incredible. So let's listen.
Thank you.
I'm clearly playing. I'm looking at the first time this thing. So I was like, okay, is it moving there? I gotta remember that it moves there.
If you were listening closely there, you may have heard me turning the page for Carlos and informing him that the last page of the piece is just the return to the first theme. That's it for today, though. Thanks for listening. Find out more at samueljpost.com/podcast. You can take the survey at bit.ly/musicpostsurvey. And you can hear Carlos, me, and Paul Bratcher Tuesday, May 9th at noon at the Church of the Epiphany in downtown DC. Find out more at epiphanydc.org. If you're listening in the future, you can also hear the three of us December 9th, 2017, at Levine Music as part of their concert series, and hopefully some other times too, TBD. And I hope you'll join me next time, of course, on the Music Post.